Our gospel reading this morning is a passage from Luke's gospel that takes place right after the story about the road to Emmaus. You remember on the road to Emmaus, two of the disciples are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're discussing as they go everything that happened in Jerusalem about Jesus being crucified and dying, and wondering what's going to happen. Jesus walks alongside of them, and they don't recognize him until they get to the town, and he breaks bread with them at table, and they recognize his presence, and then he disappears. Excuse me. This is one of the apparitions of Jesus in Luke's gospel. Well, this passage follows that when the two disciples involved in that story go back to Jerusalem and have told the apostles what their experience has been. And this is chapter 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord. As we have been saying in the last year or so, the whole point of the gospel story is to bring Jesus to a place of recognition, not only as the physical person of Jesus, but as the Christ. And we saw in John's gospel that the Christ in the early church's thoughts pre-existed with God. In fact, the Christ was God, says John's gospel. And he came to be a part of our human family by becoming the person Jesus. And after his death and his resurrection, he appears to people so that they will recognize that that bond between humanity and divinity is true and is real, not only for Jesus, but for all of us, that we all have been divinized probably from the very moment of our conception. So that being true, what the gospel writer is here suggesting in action is a proof, if you will, of that very simple truth. When Jesus says to him, "Touch me and see." To touch is to recognize the humanity of Jesus, and to see is to recognize the divinity of Jesus, both in the same person. And touch is really a very important part of not only the proof of the early church, but it becomes a part, when they write the gospel, of underscoring for the writers the action of Jesus, how he touched people's lives. He laid hands, he healed, he blessed, he brought all kinds of new things to life, all of it through touch. Which brings us to a place where I think we all would like to be able to touch Jesus and recognize that this is all true, wouldn't we? It would be nice if somehow he were here and we could touch him and walk away saying, "Absolutely, now I know." But then you wouldn't have to have faith. It would be knowledge. The interesting challenge that this creates for us is, what happens to human touch? For Jesus, it was something that was a tool for his ministry. What is it for us? Looking at the newspapers and watching the news on television, we see people touching people all the time. And some of the strongest images we have of late are with the ISIS person standing behind a kneeling person with a knife in his hand. He has his hand on his shoulder and recognizing that this is indeed a human being here. And somehow, with his message, holding us responsible for what is about to happen to this human being. And if you look closely at some of the rampages that go on, the protests around the various countries, especially in the Middle East, but not necessarily limited to them, go to Nigeria, any place where there is unrest, and you see people constantly bonded together, arms in arms or holding hands, somehow trying to address some of the horrors that are being reaped upon them in their days. And then you have others where there is absolute violence, where hands are being throat grasping, punching, and holding guns and making all kinds of threats to these people. So touch is something that we are very much aware of. It occurred to me the other day, you know, one of the things that has always been a part of my life when I was growing up was my sister had Down syndrome. And back in those days, of course, they had, that was a great stigma on the family. And so we lost touch with a lot of our family members because it was thought it might be catchy back in those days. But I remember how difficult it was for people to even relatives to even touch my sister, to wish her a happy birthday or Merry Christmas or, you know, what we just did in peace. A fear that somehow touching that person would be contagious to us, and it somehow would fall upon us. Same thing is true with some of the great moments in sports. I think of the day that Greg Louganis did his triple forward or backwards, and he banged his head on the platform, and how there was great fear that because he was AIDS, he had HIV, that everybody in the pool would be somehow contaminated. And people working in various situations find themselves unable to really handle some of the things and some of the people that they are called to treat and deal with. There's a great fear when we have a knowledge that is somehow truncated or not really informed. And so we don't touch what we don't know. There's a great scene in the story of Francis, Saint Francis, who was very much afraid of lepers. And until one day he wrapped his arms around a leper, did he not realize and recognize that this was a human being just as he, and that this human being was just as saved and loved by God as anyone else. It transformed his whole way of thinking. It changed his way of looking at the world, and it certainly opened him up to a reality that allowed him to become the person he became. That being said, think about for a moment some of the things, some of the touches that you have had in your life. I think back to probably the most, what is the most powerful touch you have ever experienced in your life? There are probably many we don't even remember. But certainly the ones that touch us the most, that we remember the most, are those that affect the way we perceive ourselves and the way we see the world. There are touches, are there not, that give comfort. There are touches that give us encouragement. There's a touch that somehow heals what is untouchable. There are touches that penetrate right to the depths of our hearts. Some that go right into the soul. There are touches that console. A touch on the shoulder or a hand being held can help us to grieve. There are touches that forgive. And there are touches that really are statements of love. In fact, there are times when we are touched and most vulnerable, when we all of a sudden have hope. We see new possibility. Our spirit is changed. We are made whole again. One of the greatest moments of my life was when the dear friends of mine had their first child. And they came for the church service. And it was the first time I had seen the baby, and I put my finger out to the baby, and the baby grabbed my hand, you know, like they do. That is such a wonderful moment. That heals all kinds of things. That changes everything about your life when those little fingers wrap themselves around your finger and hold on. And it's even better when they don't want to let go. If we look at our lives, isn't it true that in all the situations of our life, someone has been there in our darkest moments, or maybe in our most hurting moments, and maybe in delightful moments? Someone has been there who made that moment so special just by their presence. All that being said, I'd like to suggest, as we have said in the last few weeks particularly, whenever humanity and divinity cross, wherever they intersect, wherever the human and divine touch, that is the presence of the God we look for. That being said, how many times in my life have I been at that moment and didn't recognize it? Because nobody taught me to see that way. Human touch is the most powerful, powerful gift that we have because we are human. Everything else is confined within us, but touch makes it possible to bridge the many chasms that live in our lives, all the divides, handshakes across discussions of peace, handshakes over decrees and changes coming from governments and politicians, handshakes that cross pews. We are human and divine. We live in that unity. Each one of us is a minister of God's promise. Because when we touch, we make possible the coming together and the celebration, the breathing again of the presence of a divine human person. Call it the Christ. Call it our blessing. Let us not take touch too mindlessly, because I believe it is of the greatest gifts that God has given us by making us who we are. Let us share it to the best of our ability and recognize every time we touch, there is God. Amen.